study of God's Word and our worship of God. We're glad to have you. I want to talk today about teaching the children. Teaching the children. There is a tremendous emphasis in the Old Testament on teaching children. I'm going to talk about this at large, at length. So I want to say there's a tremendous emphasis on teaching children in the Old Testament. Try to find anything in the New Testament to compare with it. What emphasis do you see in the New Testament on teaching children? We don't see much of an emphasis at all in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, we see a tremendous emphasis on teaching children. I think this is because the New Testament teaching is directed toward adults about themselves, about what they need to do, about what they need to believe, about what they need to practice. But much of the Old Testament is directed to adults about their children. And I think that's one of the reasons why we see that difference. So think that through. In the New Testament, what we're dealing with is the four Gospels, the four Gospel accounts, where we are being given the evidence of Jesus being the Son of God. We are to believe that. And then in the rest of the books of the New Testament, we are receiving information that teaches us about the New Testament church. We're learning about the way we should conduct ourselves as adults. But in the Old Testament, that's where the emphasis is given to adults about their children and about what they should do. Now, we can say this is a point that we should observe. The idea of the Old Testament teaching children, its emphasis on teaching children, we can say that is a point we need to observe. Or we can say it is not for us. So we can just dismiss the passages I'm about to read. We can just dismiss that and say, oh, that was the Old Testament. But I don't believe that's right. I think we are making a fatal mistake if we say that. So the passages that I'm going to read this morning are primarily going to be from the book of Deuteronomy. And I want to use an example of Jesus' teaching as I compare the idea that we can look at the fact that the Old Testament gives us a tremendous amount of information about teaching children. We can either say, well, that's the Old Testament, and forget it. And I want to compare that to the idea that I find a lot of people are doing when they think about Jesus' teaching. A lot of times people read about what Jesus taught and how he taught and so on. And they say he was inspired. He was the Son of God. So what he did is not for us to imitate. Now, how about that? So consider that. And listen again. We can say he was inspired, the Son of God. So what he did is not for us to imitate. Or we can say he was inspired, the Son of God. So we are supposed to imitate what he did and said. That's the idea. That's the idea. We are not at all to dismiss his statements and his way of teaching by saying, oh, that he was the Son of God. He was inspired. And dismiss it. No. We are to look at that and say, if he taught that way, I am to teach that way. Don't you see that? We look at the way he taught and we say, that is the way for me to teach. When we look at the Bible, I believe that the examples are inspired. Not every statement in the Bible is applicable to our era, but much of the statements found in the Bible are applicable to our era as well. principles that are found there are applicable to our era. So I want to begin looking at Deuteronomy with you, and we'll just pretty well look at Deuteronomy. There will be a few other passages that we will look at. So in Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 through 3, "Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the ordinances, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go over to possess it." Now listen, I know this is Old Testament. A lot of people just dismiss the Old Testament. No, no, we are not to do that. Listen to what is being said. "This is the commandment, the statutes, and the ordinance which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go over to possess it." This was stated before the children of Israel crossed the Jordan River. They were going over into that land. So he says, "Whither you, that you might do them in the land whither you go over to possess it, that you mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son." Brothers, sisters, do you perceive that? Do you get that point? It was for me and for my son and my son's son. You know, we're getting into grandchildren here. Do you realize that? So what God was impressing them with is the things that I'm telling you, you're going to need to pay attention to for yourself, for your son's son, and for his son as well. There was a continuity established here, an emphasis on continuity of belief and reverence. Let me go ahead with it. "And that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it." Hear it. Observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord, the God of thy fathers, hath promised unto thee in a land flowing with milk and honey. All right. Do you realize what the history of Israel was when they went into the land? Did they do that? Did they do what God said here? No, they did not. What happened to them? What happened to them is a lesson against disobedience. If they had listened and done the will of the Lord, that their days may be prolonged, if they had observed to do it, they heard, they observed to do it, that it may be well with thee, that you may increase mightily, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, hath promised thee in a land flowing with milk and honey. They did not do that. Now, does that not suggest something to us as we look at the precepts and commandments of God? Doesn't it suggest that if we follow His commandments and His precepts, if we accept those and make them our standard of living, then we will be blessed? So you have an emphasis in these first three verses on the continuity of belief and reverence for the things of God. Now the next three verses, the next three verses are called the Shema by Jews. Hear, and the reason they call it Shema is that first word hear is in the Hebrew, Shema. So they call it by the first word. Hear. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be upon thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Notice the emphasis. Teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be for frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thy house and upon thy gates. Hear, O Israel. The thing about this Shema brings to mind a story that occurred to me before I moved down here, several years before I moved down here. I was in Athens, Alabama, preaching at Eastside at that point, and I got a call. A man called me and said that he had been reared as a Jew, and he was a Jew. He had been reared as a Jew. Well, I immediately began to wonder, why are you calling on what you would think as a Christian group for help? Why are you doing that? Well, he assured me he had learned the Shema. Well, it happened that I knew exactly what the Shema was. So I said, okay, I'll come and meet you. So I went over, drove over to the motel he was staying in. And as I was driving, I thought, well, you're staying in a motel. Why do you need my help? Got over there, and he came out, and I met him. And so I said, so I understand that you were reared as a Jew? Yes. And you went to school and learned the things that Jews typically learn? Yes. Yes, I did. I said, well, can you tell me about the Shema? Any Jew who had been reared in a Jewish setting, if he did not know the Shema, then you could throw out everything else he said. And I knew that. So, this is the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be upon thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be for frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thy house and upon thy gates. He did not have any idea what the Shema was. And so I knew exactly what he had been doing. You call it L-Y-I-N-G. He was lying through his teeth. And he really got upset because I didn't swallow it. I did not swallow it. And I didn't help him. I didn't help him. Because he was a liar. And he was lying concerning things of God. And he knew that. So, this is the Shema. Now, let me turn over a chapter or two, and I want to show you another passage here. Deuteronomy 11, 18 through 21. Now, look at that passage as well. And think about the emphasis that is upon the teaching of children here. Therefore shall ye lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be for frontlets between your eyes, and you shall teach them your children, talking of them when you sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thy house and upon the gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord your God sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven above the earth. Same basic thing. So we see this emphasis on the teaching of the children. Now again, I say, do we pick up on that? Do we say, do we learn something from that? Do we learn something about our responsibility to our children? Or do we dismiss it and say, oh, that was the Old Testament? Well, the principle is that the obedience of these principles, the teaching of their children, was designed to keep the blessings flowing. Now, they didn't teach their children The blessings did not continue to flow. So what is going to happen to you and what is going to happen to me if we don't teach our children? The blessings will not flow. The blessings will stop. That's what we need to understand. Now, in the next section, we need to understand, and this is such an interesting thing to me, because remember, they were preparing to cross over into the river. They were preparing to cross the river into the land of Canaan. So, look at the next section now. Moses is warning them. It shall be when the Lord your God shall bring you into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you. Now, I hope you're listening carefully. Concentrate. Listen to what he's saying. He brings you over into the land, gives you the land that he promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob to give you, great and goodly cities, which you did not build, and houses full of all good things, which you did not build, and cisterns hewn out. That would be a rock, a tank dug down into the rock, hollowed out of the rock. And it was designed so that the rain that fell was channeled into that cistern or that tank. So, cisterns hewn out, which you hewed not out, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantedst not, and thou shalt eat and be full. All right, listen. Here's a warning. Then beware. Then beware, lest thou forget Jehovah, who brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and him thou shalt serve, and shalt swear by his name. This is one of the verses quoted by Jesus when he was tempted by the devil. And the devil tried to get him to worship him, tried to get him to worship the devil. And he said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. That's what he replied. Now, take a moment. You're going to have to really think about this for a moment. The Israelites had been out in the wilderness for 40 years. They had not had a Walmart. They had had banks. They had no investment houses. So, The Lord sustained them. He gave them what they needed, but they didn't have more than that. They were not wealthy. They were not wealthy. Now they were going to cross this river Jordan. When they went across the river Jordan, they would begin conquering the cities. And when they conquered a city, they would get the houses. Houses which they had not built. They hadn't done a thing. Here's a house, nice house. They go in and take that house for themselves. It's yours, or it's mine. It's my house. Well, where'd the furniture come? It was here. We didn't put it here. We didn't. What about the tank outside that gathers the water when it falls? No, I didn't hew that. What about the vineyard that's out there? Boy, that's going to be nice. Go out and gather grapes. I didn't plant that. Olive yards. No, I didn't plant them. So what we have here is a people that were going to go in, and as they conquered these cities, after the city of Jericho, they were free to take the animals that they found. They were free to take the silver and the gold that they found. So you know what that was going to do to their standard of living? You think about it. These were people who had been desert dwellers. They had lived in tents. And now they're going into this land and they're going to live in houses that they didn't build. Olive yards they didn't plant. All that stuff. These people are going to be wealthy. They're going to be wealthy. And you know what else? Their children are going to be better off than they've ever been. So Moses was talking to the children of Israel about the danger of affluence. The danger of affluence. Now, affluence is a word for you younger people. That means when somebody who hasn't been rich suddenly get money. They haven't had money. Now, suddenly, they're going to have money. Much more money than they've ever had. So he warns them of this. And let me go ahead and read the rest of this. You shall not go after gods of the gods of the peoples that are round about you, for the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is a jealous God, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee, and he destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Now, as Moses is talking to these people, I'm talking to people who know what affluence is. You might think we don't know what affluence is. Well, compared to other generations, we know what affluence is. We know a standard of wealth greater than our forebears knew. And what we have to be careful about is when we are dealing with affluence, we need to be careful not to think that it is all due to us. We need to remember that it can be taken away. I cannot depend upon it. And children, I want you to understand something. You need to understand that too. And see, here's the thing. When people got into the land, what they would do is remind their children. Now, you guys need to think about this. Say, here we got into the land, and some of the men that years ago, they're now old, and they crossed the Jordan. Years ago, so they would get you children. And they would say, children, let me tell you about when we crossed the Jordan. You know what your tendency would be? After a few times, here we go again. Do you know that? That would be your tendency. You don't have to do that, and I don't want you to do that, but that would be your tendency. Oh, I've heard this before. Yeah, Dad's going to time one on again. We're going to go through all that again. So what I want you to understand is that when your parents are teaching you the things of old, especially the Word of God, you know what you're to do? You're to listen. You are to listen. And you are to respect them for trying to do what God said they are to do. Okay? All of you young people need to understand that. When your parents are teaching you the things that they are supposed to teach you, they are doing exactly what God wants them to do. So, you know, there are really two sides to this thing. There's what the parents are supposed to do and what the children are supposed to do. It's a two-way responsibility. Don't ever forget that. I want to say a little bit more about that as we go along. Now, in Deuteronomy 6, let's look at the next statement here. Verses 16 through 19. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies, and his statutes, which he hath commanded thee, and thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, to thrust out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. So you do this, and the Lord will protect you, and he will guard you, and he will help you do the things that you are to do. Now in verses 20 through 25, what these verses emphasize is don't forget the divine reminders. Don't forget the divine reminders. When your son asks you in time to come, what are these testimonies and statutes and the ordinances which the Lord our God hath commanded you, what do those mean? The children would ask about those. Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his house, before our eyes. And he brought us forth from thence, that he might bring us into the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as at this day. And it shall be righteousness unto us if we observe to do all this commandment before the Lord our God as he had commanded us. Children, the reason why these commandments are important is because the Lord gave them to us. He gave them to us as he took us by the hand to lead us out of the land of Egypt. And that's what he was doing. Don't forget the divine reminders. I'm going to mention a few of the divine reminders. This is one. What do these commandments and statutes mean? What do they mean? Now, go back for a moment to Exodus. Exodus 13 and verse 8. Listen to this one now. And thou shalt tell thy son in that day. This is the significance of the Passover. What is being dealt with here is the significance of the Passover. There shall be no leavened bread seen with you, neither shall there be any leaven seen with you in all your borders. And verse 8, and thou shalt tell thy son in that day, saying, it is because of that which Jehovah did for me when I came forth out of Egypt, and it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thy hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the law of the Lord may be in thy mouth. For of a strong hand hath the Lord brought you out of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in its season from year to year. The feast of unleavened bread was a reminder. We're dealing with reminders. God has given many reminders. So another reminder is over in Joshua. Let me look over in Joshua 4. Joshua 4 is really an interesting example of this, because the children of Israel had crossed over the Jordan. So Joshua commanded one man from each tribe to go down in the Jordan and pick up a rock out of the Jordan. And from what I read, I think that there were two stacks of rocks. I think there was one stack of rocks that were piled up where the priest's feet stood. When they came down into the Jordan, they waded into the Jordan. The river was at flood stage. They came down and they stood. They just waded off into the few inches here at the edge of the river. And he said, now gather stones and pile the stones there where the priest's feet stood. So they made a pile there. And then he said, let each man, a man from each tribe, take a stone and take it to where we camp tonight. That was at Gilgal. So the thing is, and bear with me here. The thing is, later on, when the children of Israel will bring their boys, their children by that way, and they'd get to the edge of the river, those stones that stood at the edge of the river at flood stage would be backs, feet, several feet from the normal course of the river. Now, do you get that? So that when you looked at that, you would say, and the father would be teaching his son, he would be able to say, now, my son, the river Jordan was at flood stage. It was all the way out there, and he could show them the stack of rocks where the priest's feet stood. But the other stack of rocks was brought to Gilgal, and they made a monument of those rocks in 21 through 24. Let me read this. When your children, verse 21, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were passed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that you may fear the Lord your God forever. That, another reminder. So, we need to help our children not forget the reminders. We need to teach them what those reminders are and what the significance of those reminders are, and then not let them forget. Let me just ask, without trying to lay a guilt trip on you, but maybe it's time for a guilt trip. When we come to worship God, do you talk to your children about the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine? Do you tell them the significance of that? And if you do tell them the significance of it, do you say, the bread is to remind us of Jesus' body, which was broken on the cross. And the grape juice is to remind us of his blood, which was shed. Okay, got it now? But you see, it doesn't live. We don't make it live. You know what we need to do to make it live? We need to tell them about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. He died. We need to do that often so that the children know the meaning of this reminder. And then we remind them of it, and it will bring it to their attention. We need not to neglect those things. Don't forget the divine reminders. Now I want to turn to Joshua 24, end of the chapter, the end of the book. At the end of the book, we find this statement, Joshua 24, 31. Joshua 24, 31. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, and had known all the work of the Lord that he had wrought Israel. Now then, think about this. What was the significance? Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. Now, does that make sense? Does that make sense? Well, Joshua was a leader. And Joshua was the kind of man who would see to it that everybody did what they needed to do. So we could count on that. But it was not just all the days of Joshua. Look at this next point. And all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. Well, what was peculiar about those elders? What was peculiar about them? Do you get it? They outlived Joshua and had known all the work of the Lord that he had wrought for Israel. That knowledge. I'm just cracking a door here to that which is emphasized emphatically in the Bible. that the knowledge of what God has done is of fundamental significance to a person in believing in God. It is fundamentally significant to a child coming to believe in God and to respect God and reverence God. And if you do everything you're supposed to do, your child still may not honor the Lord. But it will be his fault. Don't let it be yours. Don't let it be yours. You teach that child, and if he doesn't observe, then it will be his fault. The thing that characterized these elders, they had known all the work of the Lord that he had wrought for Israel. Again, the knowledge of what God has done, the mighty works of God. That's another thing that's emphasized so often through the Bible. Emphasis is on the mighty works of God. You have to tell the children what the mighty works of God were. They won't know them if you don't do that. When my children started to school, I had taught them, of course. Sandra and I both taught them constantly in the car as we traveled. Just like Moses said, when you go in, come out, when you're on the way. So every school year, when we started the school, I would start in the morning. And I would begin the story of the Bible in the fall of the year. And I would begin telling my children, Laura and Ryan. And Laura was older than Ryan. So he wasn't going to school at first with us. So I had Laura. And we picked up another child or two on the way. So they also heard the story. And we did that every year, every year. I'd start, and when Ryan got in on it, then we started every fall. We would start in the Old Testament, and we would go through the Bible. And I want to encourage you to do that. And as I said, you may not be able to save your child. But you're sure not going to be able to save him if you don't teach the Word of God. You won't do it if you don't teach the Word of God. And the point is that you may well save your children. Now, let me read a little bit more here. Now I'm turning over to Judges 2, and it's just across the page. Judges 2 and verse 7. Now you will notice a little similarity in this verse. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great work of the Lord that he had wrought for Israel. Huh, that sounded exactly like Joshua 24 and 31, didn't it? It sure did. It's almost repeated word for word. But now notice. Joshua died. A lot of times when someone dies, and what used to be done is no longer done. Joshua died, and they buried him. And then verse 10, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. So those men who outlived Joshua, who had continued to teach the Word of God, they also died. And there arose another generation after them that knew not the Lord, nor yet the work which he had wrought for Israel. And someday I'm going to try to tell you what I think happened. But I won't do that today. But there was failure. There was failure. There was either failure to teach, which was the parents' fault, or there was failure to listen, which was the children's fault, or both. I think the truth is that there was a lot of both. So you and I, who are older, we get to the end of our lives and we see what has been. And we try to warn people who still have time and opportunity. And we just hope that they will take advantage of it. And that's what I hope. I hope you will take advantage of these warnings. And they're not just my warnings. You know where I got them? I got them from the Bible. But they're warnings that are so significant to me. We need to be careful to teach our children the inspired word. We want nothing else. Nothing else. We must teach the inspired word. We don't need to teach nursery rhymes. We don't need modern heroes. Besides, who in the world would I pick out as a modern hero that I would want my child to imitate? Whom could I pick? Our time is very limited in teaching children, both in the length of the class and also how long we have those children at our disposal. I want to close by telling you a little story. There was a man, I met him in the Czech Republic. At the time, it was Czechoslovakia. But then it divided, and there was Slovakia and the Czech Republic. So I met him. He was a good man. He was not married at the time I met him, but he was engaged. And he moved back over here, and he began preaching in Franklin County. I don't mind your knowing who he is, Lonnie Oldag. I don't know how many of you know him, but I think he is a superb man, a superb preacher and father. So I had meetings at their house after they got back. He and his wife, and they had two children. They had two sons. And that's one of the places that I remember so fondly. The circumstances. Just wonderful to me. They had a back porch in the shade. I'd go out there and sit on that porch, do my studying. These two little boys would play, and it'd take you a while to notice what was going on. One of the little boys, and he was like 4 or 5, not any older than that, he took a rag, some kind of a rag, like a bandana or something like that. He tied it around his head. And I couldn't understand clearly what they were saying, but what he was playing was David. He was David. And his daddy would play with him. And the game would be that David would face the giant, Goliath. That's who Lonnie would be. He's facing the giant, Goliath. And David would need to say, "I come to you in the name of the Lord God, the God of Israel," and so on. And if he said that, then he could beat the giant. If he didn't say that, his daddy would eat him up. And you know, it didn't take that little boy long to learn to say, "In the name of the Lord God, I come against you." And that little boy, you know what? That little boy still remembers that. That That is not a surprise, is it? You know how long